Today's Leading Women, episode 669, with the wonderful Susan Garber.
Women all over the world, get ready for inspiring and empowering interviews from women at the top of their field who are kicking butt in their business and who are prepared to share shocking revelations from being in the limelight. You are now listening to Today's Leading Women with Marie Grace Berg.
Podcast your passion. Yes. Did you know you can podcast your passion, make a difference, and make money talking about what you love talking about? That's how I get to do what I'm doing, talking to wonderful women every day here at Today's Leading Women. Want to learn how I did? Go to podcastyourpassion.com. That's www.podcastyourpassion.com. Yes, women of the world, let's get started. I am delighted to introduce you our amazing guest for today, Susan Garber. Susan Garber is a board member, author, speaker, filmmaker, and entrepreneur. She serves on the boards of several organizations, including some listed in her book, Safety Network. She has been featured in USA Today, US News and World Report, and Business Week, amongst others, and has spoken at hundreds of conferences focusing on risk, leadership development, and globalization. A dual US-EU citizen who has lived in 8 countries and traveled to 80 nations and all 7 continents, she is a woman to reckon with. To learn more, visit www.gauze.net. That's www.gauze.net. gauze.net. Women of the World, Miss Susan Garber. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Marie. It's a delight to be here.
I am delighted to have you on the show, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So, Susan, I really love what you're doing with your business. You are a success in your own right. You put in the effort, you know, the sweat equity, the knowledge and experience to build a special business you call your own. As a result of that, our listeners really want to get to know you, and I want to provide that conduit, you know, that bridge between you and our listeners. So here are some cool questions that we can talk about. Feel free to comment any time about them, but these are just general questions I have in mind. So let's start with your business. You know, there might be people out there who want to start one and have no clue how to go about it. Can you tell us more about your business and the idea behind that niche?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I started Gauze, as the website implies. Gauze, I started in this year, actually, after several years as being the chief operating officer for the world's largest medical evacuation and assistance company. And Gauze is an international healthcare technology company that provides information about any hospital in the world to those who are living, working, or traveling outside their home country. And it connects people seamlessly via the internet. And just doing some research on how many people are traveling or living outside of their home countries, according to the United Nations World Travel Organization, in 2014, there were 1.1 billion international trips taken. And then when we look at people who live outside of their home countries, there's an organization called OECD that estimates between 50 and 70 million people live outside of their home countries. That's not including refugees, which is in the 300 to 500 million range. So you can see we live in a very, very mobile world. And of course, healthcare is an important aspect of that. So I certainly wanted to start Gauze, keeping that in mind. But my own journey into entrepreneurialism began about 2 years ago when I was on a trip to the Middle East. And I became ill. And it's interesting because I was actually credentialing hospitals at the time. So I certainly knew which hospitals were great, which ones had lesser healthcare standards. And this is all around the world. So when I started having some breathing issues and I couldn't catch my breath, I wasn't sure if I was having an anxiety attack, if I was having a heart attack. I'm a little young to have a heart attack. And I thought, well, you know, I'm leaving the next day. I really don't want to go to a hospital and have to spend an extended period of time here. Let me just get home and see what's wrong. Long story short, after visiting many specialists and many doctors here in the United States, after about 4 months, I was finally diagnosed with a congenital heart defect that I never knew I had, and apparently I'd had it since birth. And so for me, it became very personal and very important to provide a way for people who are traveling around the world or living outside of their home country or even studying abroad, a way to get connected with hospitals immediately. And that's really how GAWS started.
I love your story. What an inspiring story that one is. And that has been a theme here at Today's New Women, because more often that idea sprung from our own experience that really drove us to build a business around it so that we can help others as well. What a great inspiration that one is. But what continues to inspire you doing this business?
You know, it's just the everyday stories of people. I mean, and I'll tell a few stories because these are all real and they happen every day. You know, and it's interesting too, because when you start looking at statistics of who gets sick and who doesn't, and I like to look at statistics as a way to help tell a story, but a story really personalizes something. So I look to, there's a gentleman named Gary who was in Dublin, and he became ill and he wanted to find a hospital because he wasn't, or at least a clinic, because he wasn't sure what was wrong with him. He had a cough and it just wasn't going away. And at this point he started coughing up just little bits of blood. So he Googled a hospital location, and thankfully there was a hospital maybe 3 blocks away. It wasn't that far away. So he walked there and asked if he could be seen by somebody in the emergency department, and they said no. And he said, well, why not? And they said, well, we're a maternity hospital. We only see women and children. And he was like, oh, okay. So him looking online didn't really produce the result that he was looking for. I then looked to another person named Peter, who was traveling in Venezuela for work. Now, he spoke fluent Spanish, so for him, it wasn't an issue of communication, but he came down with maybe like a stomach flu. Maybe it was something he ate. He doesn't know. But he asked his hotel concierge, you know, I'm not feeling well. I'm supposed to be going to this meeting. Where do you recommend that I go? And the hotel concierge wrote down an address of a nearby clinic, gave it to the taxi driver, and off he went. Well, he got to the clinic. He waited in line for several hours before, you know, finally reapproaching the front of the line and saying, look, I've been here for 2 hours. I have insurance. I can pay you. What do I need to do? And they said, well, we're a public facility. Get back in line. That's how this works here. Because he had no idea how the healthcare system worked. So him asking the hotel concierge, well, of course the hotel concierge is going to give him the name of a clinic that they would go to, because, well, that's what they would do. So in that instance, it didn't help him. And we just hear stories like this over and over and over again. And also knowing, too, that the Department of State or even the Foreign Commonwealth Office in the UK estimates between 10 and 45% of individuals who travel abroad become ill, requiring hospitalization. I mean, we're looking at hundreds of millions of people per year getting sick abroad.
Wow, those are staggering statistics and really, really sad. But I'm glad that you have this a way to get people connected to the right resource, and having this data that really helps, especially for people who are traveling and being ill outside of their countries, and knowing where and how to get help. That is really, really beneficial. Great that you shared that one with us. But let's talk about how you prepared for success that turned this idea or that turned this inspiration into a reality. Can you share our listeners, what are some of your personality traits or your top 3 personal qualities that help you become a successful entrepreneur that our listeners can learn from?
You know, I'm going to caveat this too and say that I have always been a corporate chick. I've always worked in large corporations. So for me to take this leap of faith, and that's exactly what it is, was really huge for me. So I would say the first thing for me was having faith and realizing that this is a great idea. There's a marketplace for it. And I need to have that faith. That means that I have an evidence of believing without seeing. I don't know what the pathway is going to be. And I think every entrepreneur goes through that. You don't know what the outcome is going to be, but you have faith in yourself. You have faith in your team. You have faith in the resources around you that's going to get you through. So I'd say faith is number one. The second one for me is networking as well. I am very fond of a phrase I say a lot is, I don't have all the answers, but I know someone who does. And my network has helped me out time and time and time again with maybe little questions to huge issues as well. So being able to tap different people for their resourcefulness and for their ideas and their brain power has been very, very helpful. And then three, I would say actually having that courage to admit when I don't know something, and being able to ask people for help and just having the courage to go forward with something and taking a risk is really, really huge. And from so many different entrepreneurs, whether we look at huge ones like the Hewlett-Packard story or the Apple story or the IBM story, I mean, so many different stories of entrepreneurs. I mean, now we have Uber and we have Airbnb and just this disruptive technology that exists everywhere. All of those people started out with an idea that took some faith. They had a great team that they assembled around them that came through networking, and then they had the courage to pursue their dreams. So I would say those three are my three traits.
All right, so that's having the faith, networking, courage. Networking, and I know you are big on this, and I make sure for our listeners out there to pick up her book, Safety Network, and I'm sure we can all learn from the skills of networking skills that that Suzanne is sharing on that book. So having that faith, the networking, and courage, really great personal qualities here that we can all cultivate and adapt in our lives. All right, let's talk about how you prepared for success or what happened when you started your journey as an entrepreneur. You know, as entrepreneurs, we face daily challenges that define our being. And to get through those challenges takes a very special person. And our audience wants to know that special person in you. So what have been your biggest challenges building your business? And how have you addressed or overcame those barriers to success that a lot of women entrepreneurs face today?
Well, I have to admit, I'm kind of laughing, Marie, because I am a total untechnical person. And here I am building a healthcare technology company. My friends, my family, they all make fun of me because I get very frustrated sometimes by technology. But I always tell them that I'm probably the perfect person to build a dummy-proof application because I normally don't know how to use things, but I know what I would want to make things right for somebody like me. And I think there's probably a lot more people who get frustrated by technology than those who have a master and a command of technology. So I would say my first challenge is actually being an untechy person in a technical world. So it's both an asset because I can certainly explain things in a very layman's term, but it's also a huge detriment as well because when I am dealing with techy people and I say something, they'll look at me like, what did she just say? Or what does she mean? But I'm speaking in very, very layman's terms, hoping that I can express what I'm trying to accomplish. And basically what I'm trying to accomplish is I'm trying to connect patients with international hospitals. That's really what I'm trying to do. And that's really what my business boils down to. But conveying that in both a technical and a non-technical fashion has both its challenges and rewards. My second one, I would say, as an entrepreneur, and I think most entrepreneurs think of this too, is a lack of resources. And certainly in any corporation, you already have everything ready for you, whether you've got stationery, you've got pens, your banks and your lawyers are already chosen, personnel issues are already solved with applications and systems on a computer. As an entrepreneur, I mean, I have to do everything from scratch. So today I'm later on interviewing some banks, for instance, because we don't have a bank chosen yet. We just selected our lawyers a couple of weeks ago. When we filed for a copyright of our product, I mean, that was all done on our own. And again, if we were in a corporate setting, we'd have all of this available to us. Now, I will say, and again, I know I keep bringing up the networking, but it's so important. I really want women to understand this, particularly at a young age. It's so important to build your network while you're young, because that way when you do need it later on, people will come to you and ask you how they can help you. And just as a side, for my untechy self with a lack of resources, I'm very thankful to have met Miles Technologies CEO, Chris Miles, who sits on my board of advisors and helps me build great things. He's a total techie guy. I don't speak his language, but we somehow managed to communicate and build a great product together. So thanks to Chris for that. And then my third thing, again, I think many entrepreneurs feel this, is you do have to be a jack of all trades. So whereas I'm not gifted or academically oriented, for instance, toward accounting or taxation or even certain IT issues, I now have to find a resource for that, or I need to study up on that myself and take on those issues as my own. As I mentioned, we copyrighted our database a couple of months ago. And during that process, you know, I had not done that before, other than copywriting a book, which is different than copywriting a database, and certainly going through the trademark issues and then even some of the patent issues, because this is a certain process that we follow. Learning all of that from both a governmental and a legal perspective has been very, very interesting. But I will say that when you go through these types of challenges, you become much stronger. You become emboldened, you become empowered, and you become a very strong person, business person, and person otherwise.
Certainly can relate to the challenges you've shared with us. And yeah, when I got started, I am one of the most untechy person in the world. I mean, but the good thing is that we have we have the resources that we can learn from all these tech things that is happening around us. So whatever that one is that you're hurdle, whatever hurdle you have, know that there are resources out there that you can tap into. So let's learn from all these challenges that Susanne just shared with us. And when they do happen to us, we don't know what to do. All right, let's segue to talk about work-life balance, because being a business owner myself, maintaining a work-life balance is so crucial to overall success in life. Now, the challenge with entrepreneurs is how to click on and click off and create that work-life balance, particularly if you have a family juggling many roles. So in your life as an entrepreneur, how do you maintain this work-life balance, and what are some of the ways that you accomplish this in the areas of your health, your family, your relationships, and your business?
Yeah, and that is certainly quite a challenge, particularly for women, I think, Marie. You know, we are just so programmed to be on all the time, whether we are a full-time stay-at-home mom or we are a full-time entrepreneur or business executive. We're always go, go, go. You know, I learned a long time ago to write things down in my calendar. So when you look at my calendar, it looks like every waking part of my day is taken up. But I also noticed, too, it wasn't enough just to write it down. Because if I wrote it down, and let's just say, like, I go swimming, for instance. If I just write down and block out an hour for swimming, but then, you know, the few minutes before I go swimming, I'm just getting off of a call, or, you know, the second I come out of swimming, I'm going to be on another call or in a meeting, that's not realistic to me. So I actually have to build in the transportation time and just some give time. So I know if I'm going swimming today, and let's say I'm going swimming today at 7 o'clock at night, then I really need to give myself an hour preparation to change, to drive to the pool, you know, to walk, whatever, to the location, et cetera. So I need to build in some actual time, but I personally need to account for almost every minute of my waking day. So that's something that's helped me. And again, it's not just writing it in your calendar. It's actually taking the time to give yourself some margin on each side of that. Another thing that I do that I think is really interesting and important, and it's actually been scientifically proven, is to take one day of rest per week. There was an article in Scientific American, I don't have the date, unfortunately, but it actually talked about the healthcare benefits of a Sabbath. And many religions hold a Sabbath, whether that's a Friday in the Muslim faith, or it's a Saturday in the Jewish faith, or it's a Sunday in the Christian faith. There's a reason why people build in a day of the week to rest. And it's because your body, mind, and spirit really need that relaxation. And I was terrible at it for the longest time. I have to say, I probably didn't really start adhering to that until maybe a couple of years ago. And that meant don't check the email on my day off. Don't accept a phone call on my day off. You know, there are certain things, and obviously since I worked in emergency evacuations, you don't always have that luxury. But I think it really does come down to, like, at least making a good faith effort to try to do that. Because if you go into it with a, well, I'll take whatever call comes in, unless it's really, really an emergency, then, you know, I mean, even doctors do get some time off. They might be attached to their pagers, but there are some times when they do get that time off, and it really does make a difference to you. And then the last thing I want to say is that you don't always have to have a clear break between work and life balance. There can be a blending. And what do I mean by this? Well, it's kind of like just enjoying the ride along the way, where you can blend your work with your personal time. So for instance, if you are traveling for a conference, maybe it's to a fun location. Maybe you want to take your family along for a long weekend and stay over, especially if it's in Orlando or Las Vegas or someplace fun. If you've got dinner plans or a dinner meeting, why not make it a fun family event or invite your spouse, your significant other, and ask your client or your colleague to bring hers or his or hers as well. And that actually accomplishes a couple of things. One, it satisfies your partner because they're getting to spend some extra time with you. Two, it actually encourages and develops stronger business relationships because you're actually involving a little bit more of your own personal self into that process. And then, of course, you know, if you're traveling or visiting a client or visiting prospect, enjoy the sights along the way. Go sightseeing if you're in a new town, even if it's for an hour. If you've never been to St. Louis or you've never been to Chicago or Los Angeles, take an hour out of your day on the way to or from your client or your business meeting to actually go and see some of the sites to make it kind of fun for you. There doesn't have to be a clear black and white parameter on work-life balance.
I love your perspective on this work-life balance. Yeah, and I love that you really mentioned about I'm really big on taking a day off a week. I know this is hard for a lot of us, but it's really important because even medical statistics have shown the benefits of this, being totally unplugged during the day. And I know this is, I'm building on this one myself too, to be totally unplugged and even taking my mind off of it, work mode. So take that day off. Choose a day of the week that you really want to take day off and not do work mode, not being on a work mode, doing something different, being, you know, spending time with your family or to your loved ones or even a personal time for yourself. And I love the fact that you mentioned about blending your work with personal or family time. Yeah, that is one of the biggest ways that you can do incorporating your work and life versus striving for that perfect balance, because there is no such thing. So involve your family. For example, like the example that Susan just shared with us, if you go for like business trips, get your family with you as well, for the same reason that you can spend both work and family time with them. So great tips here in terms of work-life balance. So let's take action on them. Last but not the least, I'd love for us to talk about one of the highlights of our show, and that's your advice for other entrepreneurs and those aspiring to be, especially to those who want to follow your footsteps. You obviously got some lessons learned under your belt of experience, so take it back to the past. Say you're going to start all over again as an entrepreneur, and you are in a class with other entrepreneurs who are hungry and thirsty for success or even for making that first buck. What types of special suggestions or advice and lessons that you learn would you give your fellow entrepreneurs, knowing where you came from and where you headed at? And if you can boil them down to your top three tips or advice, what would those three be?
Great question. I am going to go with the first one, which is take calculated risks. And we laud people who have taken great risks and succeeded, and we vilify people who have taken great risks and failed. And so I recommend taking a calculated risk, meaning do your homework first in determining, is this a right choice for my company, for my market, for my reputation, and actually do some weights and balances against that decision. And sometimes the decision that you're making may be one that looks like a setback at first, but we all know that many times when we take a step backwards, it can actually propel us to greater heights. And I'll share a personal story. It's actually from my corporate side, but I had taken a lateral move to move overseas. And I was a bit trepidatious about it because when you move outside of the main hub of activity of any organization, you can somewhat be on the periphery. And I knew that going outside of my main hub might take me out of the limelight and showcase me less than my peers. But I have to say that in running that continent, I moved to South America, that I learned so many different perspectives on business and life, and it made me a much better leader. It made me a much better human being, that I came back much stronger, and that really propelled me professionally to greater heights. And it has actually been one of the catalysts to wanting to take care of people who live outside of their home countries or travel outside of their home countries. So take those calculated risks. I'm not saying, you know, just be brash and do what you want to do and take a huge risk. Because, you know, huge risks do come with either huge rewards or huge detriments. But take a calculated one. And I think that you will find that once you've done your homework, you'll be very pleased and content with whatever decision you decide. The second one is to find a mentor. And I know women are very notorious for wanting mentors, for seeking out mentors. And of course, I have my own story on that as well, where I've had several mentors throughout my life. I have to say, many of them have been men, which I've been very, very grateful for, especially since, you know, there really aren't as many women in positions of higher authority, particularly within corporations. So it was always very beneficial for me to have somebody to bounce something off of. And again, as I say, I don't have all the answers, but I know somebody who does. And those mentors have been absolutely critical to my progress and to my sanity, because they've gone through it, whether it has been, you know, working through potential bankruptcy issues, or it's been working through explosive growth, or it's been working through diversity issues. They've all been through there, so they can counsel me on what they did. It may or may not be the right decision for me at the time, but it, again, I go back to the taking calculated risks, and having somebody to bounce ideas off of can help you with that process. And then finally, the last advice I have for other women is, don't forget your family and those who love you. And I'm going to caveat this as well with an excerpt from the book Safety Network, where I interviewed over 100 C-level executives, so CEOs, CFOs, CMOs, COOs, what have you. And the number one regret each one of them had, the number one regret, was that they didn't spend enough time with their family on the way up, so that when they were on the way down, they felt very, very lonely. I mean, so if you think it's lonely at the top, just think when you've exited the top and you're now at the bottom, it's even lonelier there. So don't forget those who love you and have supported you. You know, it's kind of funny. We joke about, oh, don't forget about the little people, you know, and it is very true. Don't forget about the people who have been there to support you and encourage you and motivate you and really stand behind you. They matter. And that's why it is so important for women, especially, to embrace this work-life balance and incorporate family into that. And also to be a successful entrepreneur, your family and your friends and your loved ones are going to be your biggest cheerleaders and advocates. You need them at all times, because it is a tough life being an entrepreneur.
Wow. Golden nuggets in those tips that you shared with us. So let me just summarize them again for our listeners. The first one is to take calculated risk. Second one is to find a mentor. And the third one, which is you really elaborated so well, is to not forget your family and the people that you support you along the way that you are building your business. Wow, that really touched my heart too, because I'm guilty of this as well. More often, I spend a lot of my time building my business to the point that sometimes I don't have time to spend with my family. And then I realized, wow, I am building this business in the first place to be able to spend time with their family. So why is there something wrong in this picture? So really, we have to step back once in a while to really reflect and make adjustments to that, to the goal. So why did you build this business in the first place? And more often it is because we want to have time. We want to have more time with our family, with our loved ones, with ourselves, and the people that we care about. So let's not forget the main purpose of why we are in business in the first place. Great takeaway there. Now, let's Suzanne, share our listeners that one woman out there that you admire the most and why.
Well, I have been very fortunate and blessed to have a number of amazing women. As I mentioned, I've had a number of mentors throughout my life, both men and women. And certainly my mom has played a huge role, and she's sacrificed her life. She was a stay-at-home mom as well while my brother and I were growing up. But I have to say I have a very special mentor, and I'd like to share just a brief story about how we met and who she is. And when I ascended into the executive ranks of multinational corporations, I was actively seeking a female mentor who had been in at that level. And as I mentioned, we're somewhat few and far between. And after my own human efforts of trying to find somebody on LinkedIn and contacting and reaching out to, I'll say, name brand female CEOs, you know, and I understand everybody is busy. They don't know who I am. I'm an unknown entity. They would be taking a risk on me. I got nothing. So I was very worried that I was going to be entering my job with no support from a mentor standpoint. And I went to the nail salon to get my nails done before I went to work. And I sat next to this elderly lady. We got to chatting, and she just seemed very teacherly, very lovable, kind. And I asked her, "Are you a teacher?" And she said, no, I was a nurse. And clearly, she was retired at this point. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going into healthcare. I'd love to ask your opinions on healthcare administration. Well, she ended up giving me her phone number and name and address. Turns out she lived right across the square from me. And lo and behold, she was the first African-American CEO of a major Ivy League hospital. And this woman is an icon. She is considered literally, she's considered a history maker. And I sat next to her and we've been friends. I count her amongst my, I have a number of different moms that I call them. She's like a mom to me. She is a mentor to me. She is an American icon who freely gives of her time, her energy, her strength, her knowledge, her prayers. And her name is Dolores Brisbane. She serves on a number of different boards around the country. And she's just an amazing woman, an amazing leader who has endured and overcome. You can imagine being a woman minority in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and overcoming so many different barriers and obstacles. She's just a true blessing to have in my life.
Yeah, so to your mom and to Dolores Brisbane for being such an inspiration to you and to all of us here at Today's Leading Women, we salute them. Lastly, Suzanne, share our listeners what's one big benefit they can get with your product or your service, where they can get it, and what's the best way that our listeners can connect with you, and then we'll end from there.
Absolutely. Well, certainly sickness can occur at any point, whether you are at home or you're at work or you're traveling in an unknown country where you don't speak the language or know the customs or know where to get help. So gauze really helps prepare you when traveling internationally that gets you access to immediate care anywhere. Gauze covers the world, protecting you. And you can find out more information at www.gauze.net.
All right, so that's www.gauze.net, gauze.net. I highly encourage you, our listeners, to check it out. Go there now, gauze.net, and put this one as your resource, especially when you are traveling abroad, because this will give you access to medical resources that you need while being abroad, while you are on your trips. Again, that link is www.gauze.net, gauze.net, and make sure to pick up her book, Safety Network, by Suzanne Garber, and you can get the one from her website or from Amazon.com. That is one book that I'm sure we can all learn from. Networking is a large part of us being in business, and building our networks is really important and creating those relationships. So pick up her book. That's Safety Network by Suzanne Garber. Get them from Amazon for our listeners out there who are international. And of course, to check her website at gauze.net and make it as a resource for you when you are traveling abroad to be connected and get access to those medical resources that you need. Right, that again, that link again is gauze.net, www.gauze.net. Suzanne, thank you so much for being so generous in sharing your time, your inspiring story, your expertise, for being a role model to many, and for bringing such a positive energy with our listeners today. Women of the world, including me, appreciate you and wish you more success in business and in your life.
Thanks so much, Marie. Thank you, everyone.
Thinking of starting a podcast? Seriously consider starting a podcast of your own, remembering that it will allow you to grow in ways you never imagined. It will grow your email list, your audience, your influence, and your bank account. Go to podcastprofitsystem.com to get started. That's www.podcastprofitsystem.com.
Feeling inspired and empowered to make it happen? Then take the next step and go get your free guide to the top 10 resources that today's leading women use to stay at the top of their game, plus Marie's favorite today. Visit todaysleadingwomen.com/guide for your free download, and we'll see you on the next episode of Today's Leading Women with Marie Grace Berg.